Hello, everybody. This next lesson is going to be on Psalm 37. It's a really long psalm, so this may take several different talks, but I'm going to cover all of it. I'm going to attempt to do that. But let me begin. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Have you ever been in a situation where you would fret so much about the situation that you are so upset about it, and it won't leave you alone, that you keep fretting? You can't get rid of it. You keep fretting about it. And here's what you do, and here's what we all do. You sit down, and you pray about it. You try to give it to God, but then you sit there and you think about it. And you take yourself through all these scenarios in your mind. You get in a fight with the person, you approach them, you say these things to them that really state what you think in your mind, and you get angry about it, and things are going to get so bad in this situation in your mind. And then you think of some good things about it, but whoa, does your mind like to go to those bad ones? It likes to go to those envious, being envious of wrongdoers. We tend to do that. We think about the situation, we can't get it off our mind, and we kind of like to dwell in the worst case scenario. Don't go there. Psalm 37 is telling us, don't go that. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. But what do? We want to keep going. It says trust in the Lord. But no, we don't want to trust in the Lord. We want to sit there and try to figure it out ourselves. We try to fret over it. Let me figure it out. But what we do is we do just like the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel who went into the promised land. They were sent over by Moses, and he said, go and scout out the land and let us know. Well, what happened? 12 of them went in, 10 of them came back, and they go, whoa, there were these giants. There's no way. God's not going to help us with these guys. And then the other two, of course, who ended up living for the 40 years through the wilderness walk through the desert, Joshua and Caleb, they said, oh, there were giants. But guess what? God is faithful. God can take us through this. We're fine. And of course, God rewarded them because they were faithful. But the other 10 went into all these scenarios. They must have been thinking about these giants. Okay, the giants, they're going to stomp on us. They're going to kill us. They're going to tear our heads off. They're going to rip us apart. You know, they thought of all the bad, negative things that could have happened. So we have to think about our situations, things that we go through. Somebody did something really bad to me. So I got to think of all these bad things that could happen. Just the other day, I had a friend who told me this long story about she was going to move all her things into storage. Well, this mover ended up literally cheating her. And there was something even in writing where he was cheating her. And all these things were happening. And she said she finally committed it to prayer. And she happened to pick up the piece of paper and look at the contract and see that it was all in writing. So she was safe, but we've got to trust in the Lord. So that's why it says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass. God is assuring us they will fade like grass, and they're going to wither like the green herb. So don't worry about it. Yeah, there's a situation. Don't let yourself fret over it. And then it says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's the one. We have to trust in Him in the situation. We can't let our minds run off into a playground of thinking all these negative things. So trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. So let's look at this. We have to pray when a situation comes up, right? We've got to commit it to prayer. It's really making us fret. It's really bothering us. So what we have to do is we've got to pray first. And if you pray Psalm 139, pray Psalm 139, 23, and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts to see if there is any evil or grievous way in me. So you have to pray and say, God, search me, see if there's anything evil in me. I'm giving myself to you. Ask God to clean you off from all those worries in the world, all the junk that's in the world. There's so much stuff out there. And then you can truly commit your way to Him. And that's what it says next in Psalm 37. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act. He's going to help us and He will bring forth your righteousness. So we have to pray and ask Him, give Him this situation, give it away, write it down, do something like that. So you need to truly commit your way to Him. I mean, think about this. Think about how difficult it is for kids. Kids really want their way. You have a situation that's really bothering you, and of course you want it to go your way, and of course you want it to go your way quickly, like now, like yesterday. And so that's why we end up fretting. It's like, no, these people can't do this to me. But yet we've got to stop. We've got to pray Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts to see if there's any evil way in sitting here looking at the situation that I'm fretting over. Am I doing anything wrong? So get that. Pray about that. But kids, you know, back to kids, they want their way. I remember when I was little, I used to go play at a friend's house and she would say, well, let's do this, let's do that. And I'd think to myself, I don't want to do that. And yet when they came to my house, I'd say, well, what do you want to do? So maybe you've got to look at yourself in this situation. Why are you fretting? Is it because of something you're really doing or is it because of the situation? And that's why you have to stop and pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So you have to find out, is there any sin in me that's causing this situation? Am I being selfish about this? Or is this truly a situation where I deserve to be able to fret? And of course, he says, don't fret. Turn to him. Give it to God. So you need to pray Psalm 139, pray Psalm 37, memorize it so that you can keep reminding yourself, no, I can't fret over this. So fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't be envious of these wrongdoers. Sometimes there are people who do things wrong and they get away with murder. You're like, how in the world can that person be making so much money when they're cheating so much? That's not your worry. Don't worry about it. Just let it go. Let it go. For they're going to soon fade like grass. And they're going to wither like the green herb. So don't let these evil people, these people that you're actually envious of, and that's our human nature, is to be envious of the one who's, quote, winning. But we've got to learn to trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. You know, that calms you down. It's like you trust in the Lord and do good. Now, this is the hard part. We're only here for a while. Got to think about this. We're dwelling in this land for less than 100 years. And so while we're dwelling here, we've got to remember God's my Savior. He's the one who has all the power. He knows everything. So I better trust in Him because He's been around a long time. He's never changed. He doesn't ever change. So while I'm dwelling in this land, I need to trust in God and I need to befriend faithfulness. And that's kind of interesting. So while we're on earth dwelling here, we befriend faithfulness. We don't befriend catty, talking about people, gossipy things. Befriend faithfulness. And I did a little word study on faithfulness, and it was really interesting because when you look through the Bible at where it talks about faithfulness, you kind of see a little bit of a pattern. In Deuteronomy 32:20, it says, they are a perverse generation, children in whom there's no faithfulness because they were worshiping idols. And look at our world today. You know, it's kind of sad because these kids, they see so much on the internet. They see so much on TV. And unfortunately, their idols are all these actors and all these singers and people like that. And then you look at their lives and what happens to them? They all die of drug overdose or they, you know, go down the tubes and get arrested for drunk driving. And these aren't things our kids need to be doing. They don't need to be looking at these people. But in any case, this is what happens. So back in Deuteronomy, he's saying they are looking at idols, children in whom there's no faithfulness, and yet we need to befriend faithfulness. That's what he's telling us to do. So in Joshua 24:14, it says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. And in this same situation, put away the idols that your father served. So that's the message we hear about faithfulness from God. 1 Samuel 26:23 says, "The Lord rewards every man for faithfulness and righteousness." And this was a situation where God actually gave Saul over to David when Saul was trying to pursue him and kill him. But David said in the scripture, it says, "The Lord rewards every man for faithfulness and righteousness." And isn't that neat? Wouldn't you rather have a reward from God for being faithful and befriend faithfulness than to have some other bad situation happen to you? So this is his advice to us. And in Psalm 40:11, it says, "God's faithfulness and steadfast love preserves us." Wow. Wouldn't you rather be preserved than to sit around fretting? We want to have our lives preserved while we're here, and God look after us and watch over us and make things better in our lives. And in Psalm 54:5, it says, "God is our helper and he puts an end to our enemies." But we have to be faithful. We have to serve God. We have to trust him in order for him to fight our battles for us. Look at when the 12 tribes went into the promised land. Look at what happened there. God said, "Don't worry, I'm going to fight your battle for you." And what did they have to do? Just surround the city. You walk around it 7 times. They didn't do a thing. And there's so many other battles that we look at in the Bible where we see they didn't have to do anything because God said, "Hey, go out in the morning. There's going to be these big holes, put water in them. And when the sun rises up, they're going to see its blood and they're going to just run away. And then you can go take that area." So God will fight our battles for us. We don't need to sit and fret and worry about them all the time. And then Psalm 61:7, "Love and faithfulness watch over the king in this situation." So we want the steadfast love. We want the faithfulness to be part of our lives. So when we trust in the Lord and befriend faithfulness, he does that for us. Psalm 96:13, it says, "God will judge in faithfulness." God is a faithful God. We want to be more like him. So pray and ask him to help us be more faithful so that we can befriend faithfulness while we're waiting in this life we're dwelling in. In Psalm 119:30, it says, "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me." And that's why we have to look at God's word. We have to look at his law. It says the law is the word of God. If you have a trainer, you listen to the trainer. Right? Well, we have a God who's training us to be more like Jesus while we're dwelling here on earth. So how do we listen to God? You want to be trained? You listen to the trainer. You want to be trained by God? You have to listen to God. So how do we do that? We do that through the Word of God. So we read his word. We memorize his word. We follow his precepts. We follow what he tells us. And he says in Psalm 37, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." If you truly, truly memorize God's scripture, if you truly dwell on his word, then you will have the desires of his heart in your heart. So it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart." That doesn't mean he's going to give you everything you want. It doesn't mean he's going to give you a big house just because you want it. No. Now, it says in the Bible that we need to ask. We need to ask for everything. God wants every part of our lives. So if there's something that's pretty much selfish, just ask for it. But you'll know that God's going to change your heart. So when it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart," that doesn't mean he's going to give you every little thing you ask for, every possession that you want. It means that he's going to change your heart. He's going to make you have more of his desires. You will befriend faithfulness. You're going to want to befriend faithfulness. You're going to want these things that are special to God. The closer that I get in the word, the more that I memorize it, believe it or not, the more people that come to me needing Christ. And it's awesome because my heart's desire has become leading people to Christ, knowing that more people are going to go to heaven when they die. That's truly God's will, and that's what God desires the most. So if you delight yourself in the Lord, The way to do that is to dwell on His Word, memorize it, pray, follow Him, try to befriend faithfulness, try not to fret. It's very difficult. And then you'll have the desires of your heart, which will become God's will. And that's what we all want. And then it says in Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. And there's so many things in the Bible where we see God acting in such an amazing way. So we have to look at those and study them and see them and hear them and listen to them. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And that's really interesting because when it says He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light, that's talking about when it's dark. I mean, it can be pitch black dark. And it says that He will bring forth your righteousness as the bright light in darkness. And then your justice will be literally in the brightest part of the day, the full sun, which is the noontime. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him, and fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. So again, we're looking at all these things that are happening in our lives. And what is He telling us to do? Be still before the Lord. Go away and pray, Psalm 139, like I told you to do. Stop for a minute. Be still and hear God's voice. Wait patiently for Him. Don't decide, okay, this problem is going to be done now. Let God handle it. Let Him fight your battle. Let the Lord do that. We've got to learn to trust in the Lord. We have to learn to. And that brings me to another word study that I did on this, trust, on the word trust. And I want to go over some of these things. Trusting in the Lord. In 2 Kings 18:5, we look at Hezekiah. Now, I love King Hezekiah. That is one of my favorite people in the whole Bible because he's got such an interesting story, and he did learn to trust God so much. It says he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. I mean, that's really amazing that Hezekiah can be said that he was the most trusted of all kings. And look at what happened to him. It says, for he held fast to the Lord. He committed his way. Remember what Psalm 37 says? Commit your way to the Lord. Well, he committed his way. He did not depart from following God, but he kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses. So we have to look at his word. We have to know his word. How can you follow a trainer? How can you learn from someone if you don't read their word or if you don't listen to them? And that's how we listen to God, is by reading his word, and we learn from it. And it says on into Kings 18, verse 7, and the Lord was with him. So that's what we want. We want to be known as someone who trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, or those before him. So that's really awesome. He committed his way to God. And Hezekiah fell. Now you have to understand, Hezekiah went through a stage where he did Psalm 37. He fretted, and he fretted himself because of evildoers, and he jumped to a conclusion that ended up messing up his whole life for a time, and then God fixed it. So he had to go through struggles to find it. So don't worry. If you go through a struggle, when something comes up and you fret and you jump ahead and you mess up, don't worry about it. Just pray and say, God, I messed up. Please teach me through this situation. So here's Hezekiah. He's this wonderful king who's serving God so well. The temple had all these amazing jewels and the gold and the drapery. You know, if you look back in the Old Testament, you'll see there were so many guidelines on how the temple had to be done. And Hezekiah restored all that. He was a good king after a lot of bad kings. He restored everything in the temple. It was perfect. And then the Assyrians were threatening him. They were threatening to come fight Israel, and he panicked. He didn't turn to God in that situation. And so he panicked, and he went into the temple, and he stripped all the gold, all the jewels out of the temple and sent it over to them. And they still wrote him a letter and said, yeah, thanks for sending us all this stuff. You know, this is what we wanted to get out of you. We wanted you to fret. We wanted you to jump ahead of God and do your own thing. So they sent him a letter and said, we wanted you to do this, but we're still coming to get you. We're still going to come fight you guys. And so at that point, Hezekiah had nothing that he could even do about that. So he went in the temple and he just got the letter that was written to him and laid it out before God and said, God, I can't do anything. I am so sorry. Forgive me for not trusting you, not committing my way to you. Forgive me for all this. And I lay this letter before you and please take it and do your will in this situation. And God did it, and he restored Hezekiah, and he restored all those jewels and all the gold, everything in the temple, because Hezekiah was a faithful servant. So just remember, in all of these situations where you're trying to follow God and you're trying not to fret over all these things that come up in your lives, just remember, you might mess up every now and then, but just come and pray and ask God, please, please help me to do what Hezekiah did. Help me to turn to you. Help me to lay it out before you if I mess up. And then the more situations that you go through, the more you'll learn to trust God, the more you'll learn. And it's just like I talked about that coach. If you're being coached on something, you're going to mess up. You have to learn. You're going to be really bad at the beginning, and you're going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. So that's what you do. You go through every day praising God, learning his word, memorizing his scripture, and he sanctifies you throughout your life so that you become stronger and you learn to trust him more. Now let's go back to trusting in the Lord. Psalm 26:1 says, I have trusted in the Lord without wavering, committed my way to the Lord, like Psalm 37 asks us to do. So when people see us in our lives and they see our excitement, they see how much we trust God, then it encourages others to trust God. So we have to help each other. That's what we do. I've got a friend who was listening to one of my talks, and she called me and she said, your talk helped me so much because I had a struggle that I was working on with my daughter, and it was through school. And she said she was actually going to try to take it in her own hands and just do something drastic with it. But after listening, she said, you know, I had to go back to that scripture and pray. And so she learned to trust in this struggle and to wait patiently and commit her way to God rather than follow me or follow man, but she learned to follow God. So she trusted in God, not me, not man, not the teachers, not her daughter, not her husband, nobody, but God. And of course, God will use people in your lives to help you along the way, but still, ultimately, we need to commit our way to God, read his word daily, pray, and trust in him. In Psalm 112:7, what we see there is that after we learn to trust God, it'll actually get to the point a full commitment, because it talks about committing yourself to him. It says, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. So we'll get to the point. That's the goal. That's God's goal. Get us to the point where we're not afraid of bad news, where our heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. So just a huge summation of what we've been talking about today is fear not, fret not, don't worry about things that happen because there are going to be problems. Just like Psalm 112 just said, Psalm 112:7, he is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, committed to God, trusting in him, trusting in the Lord. So my prayer is that all of you would learn to wait on the Lord, follow him, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't be envious of wrongdoers. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land. Befriend faithfulness. And all of the things that we talked about in Psalm 37. And please go take a chance to look at it. Try to memorize part of it and commit it to your heart and prayer. Thank you.